Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
Oh, wow. It made me consent the first time, but not the second time. One consent per meeting. I don't know if that's right.
Yeah. No, it's consistent consent every time with every new sex act.
Welcome to Pendle Talk, a No Facts, All Feelings wrestling podcast. I'm Allie.
I'm Ann.
And I'm Leah.
And we're sorry we missed you guys last week. We did record an episode.
We did all the work.
We can't emphasize that enough.
Yeah. We made our schedule. We did our recording. And then we encountered some technical difficulties.
It was unlistenable.
The one time you don't have a backup file.
Hmm. Yeah. it was our fault that we weren't thinking with our dumb little brains. So you'll never get to hear like exactly how horny I was about the coffin match. I actually don't remember what I said. Maybe it wasn't that fevered. But
I think it was, and I actually think that maybe the Fates were like, no, let's keep that one in the bank.
they were like, that's
trying to,
man,
not
you don't want
yourself.
People to know this about you. Please.
This is for your own good.
Well, okay, thank you to the Fates of GarageBand for saving me from myself.
Maybe they should crash every episode.
I know, I'm like, maybe they should be doing it a bit more often, because they've let quite a few of these go out to the public. Yeah, but hopefully that won't happen again this week, and you'll be able to hear all our great thoughts that
are immortalized forever.
Can't even get through that. I'm so excited for us to share based on my schedule, which she's not happy with. So shall we get down to it?
Let's go.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's start by talking about the labors of Chris Jericho. So we had our first of five labors.
How many labors did Hercules have? It was more than 5.
12.
It was in fact 12.
But they didn't have enough
quite a
men
few more
in
than
the,
5. They didn't have enough
in
men.
The pinner circle.
What if they had to recruit up to 12 men and we just every week like ended up with more and more of them?
Oh my
until
god,
we
like
got
a dodgeball
to
thing too. Like yeah, where it's right. Like we have them choose teams.
Line up. Yeah, if they just started like they lined up everyone at AEW and just started like Chris Jericho and MDF started picking teams.
I would love that. And actually I recently watched the Fear Street movies, some of my favorite new films, and in one of them is camp based, and they were doing like a big camp war thing where they're in like the two teams, like red and blue or whatever. I wouldn't mind if we had a little special AEW edition where it's like they get into two teams and they're like picking each other off in Daly's place.
I'd love it if they just sent them all to camp, honestly, like filmed it.
I like you're like no wrestling required.
No, we don't need
whatever
to wrestle.
They want there. That's their business.
I was also thinking about going beyond wrestling and being like the 12 labors don't have to be about
beyond
defeating
wrestling.
Men. Like, what if each like inner circle member? No, each pinnacle member set him a task that he
task?
Had to complete. Yeah.
Ooh, I'd love that.
Oh yeah.
There's so many demeaning things they could make him do.
Yes.
Or they could be intellectual labors.
Oh, I'd
and
love
Chris
to see
Jericho
these men
could be
try
forced to
to
read some books that would widen his perspective of the world. Just a thought.
Wow, we've got lots of great ideas. If you're listening.
Yeah, Tony, you haven't consulted us once.
I know. Tony, please respond to our emails.
What was the most recent thing that Tony monkey's pawed us about?
He does it so regularly. What was it?
He did a really big one recently. I don't know.
I can't
just
remember.
Think
it wasn't
it.
Wingman related, was it? I don't think it was.
No. I don't know. Maybe. Whatever. Well, anyway, Chris Jericho fought Sean Spears, the chairman, and MJF was on commentary, so that was good. I thought MJF, have we heard him on commentary before? Not that often, anyway.
I don't think that often. I remember, but he was very good
on it. Yeah, he was very funny. He's really been on one this week with his little heel jokes on Twitter.com. getting a little intense in there.
But I have to go look. I think I missed them.
He had quite a few. It's some kind of like incest blowjob stuff. Aww. So,
you know, so regular stuff.
Oh, yeah, gotcha. Yeah, the first classic one that came up when I Googled MJF Twitter, because I thought that was the fastest way to get there. Yeah, they're some serious stuff.
They're spicy.
They're spicy.
Some might say beyond spicy.
Yeah, Texas usually doesn't even get these kind of like southern incest jokes the same way the rest of the South does. As someone currently living and from Kentucky. Please, Texas gets off easy.
I know. I did kind of think like, wow, is that really the number one source of Texan jokes? There must be some other ones. But who am I to critique the master at work? Someone said... What was Sean Spears doing with the... I was kind of half paying attention. I was making dinner. What was he doing with the chairs in this match that was making people act like he's elevated to chair fucker status? Like he's gone beyond just, like, being a lover of chairs.
Well, I know, like, a couple of weeks ago, people were saying he looked like he had gained some sexual satisfaction from his chair stuff. I don't know. I missed part of this because I was out. I've been deputized to help take care of the pool at my... townhome.
You thought that was more important than watching Chris Jericho fight Sean Spears?
I was pretty stressed about it, so I know. I got back and I was like, oh, thank God it's only Chris Jericho and Sean Spears.
Wow. Harsh.
No offense.
I have nothing really to offer either, because I also was only half watching this. I was mostly listening because MJF was the only cool part.
Yeah, MJF was fun. I do like that now... Do I understand Sean Spears' gimmick? No, I still don't.
I do think it's funny that he's the chairman. It feels like, do you remember that movie Mystery Men that was like off-brand superheroes? I watched it recently on Netflix, which is the only reason it's coming to mind as a current reference. But all their superhero gimmicks are like really dumb. They're like Mr. Furious just because he gets really mad. Like he doesn't have superpowers. He just gets mad. And William H. Macy is like the shoveler and he just carries a shovel around and hits people with it. But that's the level that the chairman feels like to me.
I agree. That is kind of the arena he's operating in. Well, I was going to say in some ways I think it's an effective gimmick because now anytime anyone else on the show touches a chair, I just say, like, it's so funny. I'm like, did they get permission from Sean Spears? His name is on my mind quite a bit more than it otherwise would be.
I mean, chairs get in there a lot, you know?
There's a lot of chairs in wrestling. That's one of the things.
Was it Mary who was like his... No, it was your roommate. Tell him what your roommate said, because that was really good.
My roommate Anna said maybe he will evolve from being the chairman and getting to use chairs as props to being the chairman of the board and getting to use chairs and boards as props. And I thought that is kind of where Sean Spears is operating. That hits him where he lives, I think.
I feel like Anna Three should maybe be writing for AEW if that.
I think
is
she could do
thing.
It. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Like,
right on the level.
Absolutely. Although she did pityingly say to me the other day, she goes, you know, wrestling isn't popular.
We are aware. Yeah,
she may not want the job.
I also had that experience lately because when I was talking to my friend Tracy about All Out, she was like, can I ask you a real question? I was like, yes. And she was like, when you're talking about being scared that All Out was going to sell out. And I was like, yeah. And she's like, is that real? And I was like, yes, it was real. In fact, it did sell out. And she was like, because I thought that this was like a Knights of Columbus sort of thing. No.
It's so funny to think about your friends behind your back being like, oh, poor Leah thinks that people actually care about the event she's going to.
See, so she wasn't, she believed that you wanted to go real bad, but she didn't believe it would sell out.
No,
At first I was like, she thought you've been like faking your passion this whole time. Like, you said you were scared, but like, really?
Do you even give a shit, Leah? Do you even like wrestling?
It's pretty dumb. I don't know if you've noticed, but not high art.
Tracy, we've noticed.
Every day.
Every day.
Quite aware.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Labors of Chris Jericho thing, I feel like it's like not a bad concept. Like, I feel like as a little mythology nerd, I would kind of hypothetically be into it. But it just feels like very weird for Chris Jericho and MJF, because it's like Chris Jericho is like a big deal. He's been like a big deal in wrestling for a long time. And MJF is like, he's great, but he's pretty new. So it's weird that Jericho has to like fight, do all this stuff to get to him.
And he really did not look good last night. Like, I think that there's times where he looks like he looks fine, but he was really, he was lumbering around like an enraged bear.
The meanest verb that you could use.
I mean, he did look like a man who's been thrown through tables for the past 30 to 40 years, for sure.
Yeah. The bear image is going to stay in my head. And I'm imagining a bear with like two like crossbows through it or something.
Yeah.
So it's just like
really enraged.
But it hurt a little bit.
That is exactly what he looked like last night.
Yeah. Well, he's actually going to be looking a little bit different next week at what do we have coming up? Fighter Fest?
No, I think we're done with Fighter Fest.
Fight for the Fallen?
Fight for the Fallen, yeah. Fight for the Fallen. Because he is bringing back a character known as the Painmaker, who wears mime makeup.
Oh, boy. When he turned around in that makeup, it was like, wow, there really is such a fine line between makeup that looks cool and makeup that does not look cool.
It was, I have to say, one of the most alarming things that I have seen in wrestling yet. And we've seen a lot of stuff in the past year.
I think I saw on Twitter someone was like, can we please get real and talk about it? Chris Jericho looks like a juggalo.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
And can juggalos be good guys? Yes. And is Chris Jericho a good guy? No. So it's actually an insult to juggalos, I think. I didn't look. Did anyone look into like what the Painmaker's deal is or anything?
No, I got really embarrassed when he came on the screen and I hid my face.
I don't think about it anymore. Oh, I'll have to Google that, and then I did not.
I Googled enough to remember the Painmaker for this segment, but that was it. So maybe a little homework assignment for us is that we'll research the Painmaker before we watch next week's Dynamite, and we will be ready to comment on that character.
I can't wait for next week when we're like, in 2003, in WCW.
when suddenly we become fact girls.
Fact girls.
That's going to be quite the turn.
Okay. On Dynamite, after we watched this match that we didn't want to watch that much, we watched another match that we didn't want to watch that much between Doc Gallows and Frankie Kazarian, who I will say, I think I've said it a couple times, I do like that he's just going balls to the wall on this new characterization that is crazy. it's a really big change.
And I feel like he's like got his look more under control, because I feel like he's been hotter since he's been the Elite Hunter. Like, he's not as orange.
Yeah, I don't feel comfortable calling him hot, but I agree he's been much hotter.
Yeah.
You notice I didn't call him hot. I just
No, you didn't. I was building. Yep. I wasn't pushing back on you. No, I was building understanding with our listeners.
He has the potential to be, but he has not yet achieved it, I think. So.
And will he ever? I kind of hope no. I don't know that I want to see it or
don't
feel
know
it.
That we need that for us.
I was kind of mad. I was kind of mad that he fought at all, because I was like, I really liked this thing that he was just rocking up at the last 5 minutes of any match, doing something absolutely deranged and then running away. Like,
I mean, it is very funny just to think like, I just really want to punch the Good Brothers and Kenny. And it's like, and you just get to run in and punch them and run out again.
It's relatable.
Yeah. And it is kind of like, that is his thing. Should he have to make a reservation to punch them? No. He should be able to come in whenever he wants and punch freely.
Agreed.
But this was unfortunately a full sanctioned punching.
I really hate Doc Gallows so much, and I did not like seeing him wrestle. And
we own him forever now, apparently. I mean, it's not that we've had any official update, but it's like these men have been with us for how long now?
I know.
And they're just getting more and more screen time. It's like, couldn't the Elite have like grabbed some other little minions who are like a little less unpleasant to watch? Like, get Private Party with them. Like,
Leah made the saddest little face.
Well, because I think that was Anne saying that right now, like, made it all too real, because I just immediately did what I always do, which is mentally flip to the Wikipedia page for Elite personnel. And I was like, think about the people that they could have taken instead of the Good Brothers.
There's so many little dark wrestlers, and like I'd love Private Party to be away from Matt Hardy and like give him to the elite, you know?
I guess to play devil's advocate in our argument, also hitting the Good Brothers, but still, it is true that I hate them so much that they are fueling my desire to watch the elite lose their belt.
It is true.
Certainly true. Yeah.
If the Good Brothers weren't around, I would only be saying things like, that's my baby boy.
Well, maybe you do make a good argument there.
I would be like, it's actually fine that they're doing these crimes.
Look how cute they are in their little outfits.
So they're playing an important role, perhaps.
Perhaps. And yet, I just don't think, even so, that we should be forced to watch them wrestle a whole match.
I know. And we saw one wrestle last week, too. When will the indignity end?
Right. The women can only have one match a week or whatever. And yet Doc Gallows and Carl Anderson are taking up my time.
Make it make sense.
It's called sexism.
After Frankie Kazarian got defeated by multiple Good Brothers, both of them, in fact, this week, Kenny and Don came out and did some like vamping and were like cackling over his little corpse, etc. I'd like to bring up a little fashion point, which is that I was watching Kenny this week. I don't think it was in this segment. It was in something else that he did. And I was like, why does he just seem like familiar but not in a Kenny Omega way? And I realized it's because when he's wearing his blazers and doing his hair half back look, he looks like he's doing Britt Baker cosplay. And I'm actually obsessed with it, and I unfortunately have never been more attracted to Kenny.
That's quite a mind-blowing little insight. I'd love it if Britt was backstage like giving some of the men little hair tips and stuff, because Kenny desperately needed them.
He, of course. Yeah. And he still does. I want
to. Well, yes. I mean, Britt, really keep tutoring him on that. Like,
yeah,
if you can, please.
I think he won't be tutored. Like, I think he like maybe is kind of like addicted to like stiff hold gel, and that someone has probably been like, you have to scrunch out the crunch, Kenny, and he's like, I love the crunch.
But you have to scrunch out the crunch.
I know it's like curly girls will get that one.
We know.
But he won't be scrunching. No.
No.
Since he's a crunchy boy.
Oh, Kenny.
Why did he have a Band-Aid on his forehead this week?
I don't know.
I couldn't remember the last time that I've seen him fight, so I have no idea.
Yeah, right. He didn't have one on BTE, did he? I don't think he did.
I don't think so.
I think he did. Because I thought that's where I saw it, but... I'm not sure. You know,
well, I mean, I'm obviously not sure either. So just a little battle of the no facts girls.
Oh, you're not sure? Oh, no, I'm not sure.
I'm not sure either. All right. Well, we'll just leave
none
it there.
No.
It was an insane looking Band-Aid, though. It was like the funniest Band-Aid they could have chosen for sure. I do appreciate Kenny and Don Callis' commitment to comedy. You know, when he was trying to say the elite hunter becomes the elite hunted and he couldn't find it. And then Don Callis had to help him. It was just, good stuff.
Part of his villain shtick seems to be that he is like losing brain cells every week. And on BTE this week, he was trying to shave with a knife and fork, which genuinely I had to take a lap around the room. I was like, I'm losing my fucking mind. I don't know what to do with this. Which it's like also is part of a whole thing with Kenny where I'm like, I don't really understand the underlying like characterizations that you have about Kenny Omega that lead you to do the things you do. But I do love the things you do. I just actually don't know if they make sense. But no worries.
I'd love to hear Kenny just get into like a lot of details about his character, like, because I feel like he's probably actually put a lot of thought into it. Like, not that that makes it necessarily hold together, but I'd love to hear his thoughts on it.
Yeah, absolutely. Kenny, anytime you want to come on the pod, you are more than welcome. We don't know anything about gaming, so.
I'd love to interview Kenny Omega on our podcast.
Wouldn't know where to start, but well, I'll figure it out. I don't mind doing the work.
Whew.
The segment on Dynamite, with pretty classic ending, whatever. Hangman came out looking very hot, kind of saved. I think Frankie Kazarian just left, which was great. Like, he just kind of cruised. He just kind of was like, okay, I'm done, bye.
He's like, I'm in and out, guys. Like, thanks for the assist.
he was like, it was a mistake to do this match in the first place. I got to exit the way I usually do. And then the Dark Order came out. Everybody came out. They had a big brawl.
Honestly,
whatever.
Like, the good... everybody, like the elite, all seemed very intimidated just by Hangman by himself. Like they were kind of backing up and looking nervous, which I did find appealing.
He's building his power as he builds his confidence.
Yeah.
Some other elite news from the week. We saw the Bucks shopping again on BTE. I could watch it. I could watch it every day.
I am kind of glad that the BTE has just, well, not glad, but like the fact that BTE has just turned back into their travel vlog is kind of entertaining.
I don't mind it, honestly. Yeah. I love the Dark Order, you know that.
Yeah,
but
I miss the Dark Order, but
you know, they're doing great work.
I enjoy just men on airplanes and in their massage chairs at the airport or whatever.
I assume that they didn't show us what they bought at Nordstrom because they're going to probably wear it one day, but like I was desperate.
I hope they
spent
that much money on their insane...
I think they do.
Heel outfits. They're not buying $20 women's pajamas off of Amazon.
No. Although they could be shopping the discount rack. You can still get deals at Nordstrom.
Yeah, but they said how much whatever they bought
did they?
Cost.
Yeah. Oh, I missed it. What'd they say?
$95 for Matt's little bag and like $200 something for Nick's bag. Okay. $275, something like that.
I love it, boys.
Desperate for a little peek inside.
I know.
Well, you sound like a pervert, but...
Just a little peek, boys.
Oh, boys, just open up those bags and give them a peek. I'm dying to see what you bought. I think that's all. Does anyone have any other stuff?
Well, you did
category?
Put in these notes that Brandon played A Whole New World on the piano, which I did think needed to be called out because
I didn't want to make anybody talk about it if you didn't want to, but I've really been on one this week about how many Disney adults are running around AEW unchecked, encouraged apparently by EVP Cody Rhodes. And
I know. Well, and if anyone has all the hallmarks of a Disney adult, it's Brandon Cutler.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry to say.
Absolutely. Well, and there also is in the Disney adults quite a bit of crossover with the action figure adults. And I was just watching the recent Ethan Page vlog where he was talking about his action figures that he gets sent to his friend's house. God love him. He is my perfect boy, but he has bad taste.
It's probably not surprising that pro wrestling has a lot of Disney adult overlap when you think about it. It's like these are people who like love to dress up in spandex and go broad, you know.
But shouldn't the buck stop somewhere?
It obviously should. I mean, I'm not endorsing it. It's just like the kind of nerd this is. Like, well, I guess.
You hate to see it.
Yeah.
There's quite a few of them. I feel like we've identified at least four. I won't name their names, but I feel like we've identified at
call
least
out
four.
Post for
maybe more.
AEW Disney adults.
I know. You know who you are.
Mm-hmm. Get it together.
Okay, so we got to see Wheeler Yuta and Darby Allin have a little fight. How did everybody like that?
I thought he's great. I mean, I do think that like he still has like a very stunned look on his face at all times where he's like, I just don't know how I ended up here.
They're pushing him so hard.
It's really hard. Yeah.
Really crazy. Like I like him, but I do feel very like this feels like a little unfair. Like why is he getting this huge push? But
It's a little unclear to me, like, what they want to do with him, aside from they're like, we want someone else in the best friends faction while Trent is riding out his injury, which does make sense. But in terms of, like, you know, like, do I see if they're setting up a little rivalry or a feud of his own or how he's going to, like, back up the other people? I don't really know. They haven't really done that.
My friend Sarah is absolutely convinced that a trio's title is coming any day now, and this is why they're bringing Yuta in, because they want Chuck, OC, and Yuta to be in a trio, but I don't know. I don't know if I'm that convinced about the trio title situation.
Yeah, I don't feel that convinced of it, but like that does kind of make sense, just because otherwise, like, why do they need a fourth person or a third man, you know, like, because... They can tag without him. I don't know.
Well, they can, but it does make sense to me that it's like Dustin, I guess he also does single stuff, but he does like more tag stuff and OC does more single stuff. So it wouldn't be that crazy to me if they were like, well, we want. But also he and Dustin haven't tagged. I'm really talking through it with myself.
Yeah, it's kind of like I don't. Right. When he's doing the single stuff, it's just kind of like, then why? But. Yeah, I think his wrestling, like, obviously I don't know anything about wrestling moves. I will say that when I'm watching him, I'm much more aware that wrestling is collaborative gymnastics than I usually am. So I feel like his style just doesn't look like fighting, which, like, I'm not exactly opposed to, but to me it's just a little bit like, oh, look at these cute Cirque du Soleil boys kind of.
Yeah, I think it worked really well when he was doing it with Sammy, because Sammy has the exact same style, so it was like they were both playing off each other. I think this is going to sound incredibly perverted. Darby really needs someone to throw him around, which Yuta is not that guy, so it didn't quite work as well.
Yeah, Darby is just has a much more aggro energy, which is what makes him so special and perfect.
And he wants someone to hurt him in these matches.
Do you like to hurt? I do. I do. Then hurt me.
That's right.
I know. I know he listened to that in his basement back in the day.
For sure. Probably currently also.
Did you guys hear JR actually say during that match where he was like, Darby just feels better when he feels bad? And I was like,
sometimes commentary really says some things that's like, wow, the subtext is rapidly becoming
oh, God.
Wow, good for JR. He really does, sometimes he gets there. You know,
he really sometimes does, like, just reason himself to some perverted things.
Yeah, but he doesn't notice that that's what's happening.
No.
He was also, you said in your notes, and I did vaguely remember this, that he was just confused about what the relationship between Wheeler, Yuta, and Orange Cassidy is.
He was like, I don't know what the relationship between Wheeler and Orange Cassidy is. I mean, he said it in a, like, concerned tone. Like,
is this safe? Is this okay?
Yeah. It was like the way you would talk about your son, that you're not sure he's gay, but you're beginning to wonder, you know, and you're Jim Ross.
Imagine JR
exactly
just
homophobic, but you don't feel good about it.
JR just confusing himself into being like, these men may be lovers. Like, who can say?
I'm beginning to get concerned. Yeah, and then I think it was Excalibur and Tony Schiavone. They were like, he's his protege, like, in a very like, don't get weird about this,
JR, please. Kids watch this, and that's why they couldn't say father lover, but they all.
They were
perhaps
all thinking it.
Yeah.
Although everyone was thinking
it.
Did
really get in my head where I was like, is Orange Cassidy a father lover?
Well, that's he's very young to be a father lover. I feel like it's like he'd be on the like teen father lover reality show, you know?
teen father lovers. Wow, another free idea from this little brain trust. Yeah, but he was very sweet. He was a sweet papa with little Yuta, checking in on him after he lost his match. So I don't know. Maybe he is ready.
And when he was like, when they were paralleling him with Sting and Darby too, it was like a real like, you know. And he and Sting were very enjoyable together. I love that Sting plays along with his kicks.
That was amazing. How insane must it be to be Orange Cassidy, and already like you're blowing up so fast and everything's so crazy, and then Sting, your childhood like legend, knows your gimmick and is willing to play along with it. Like, I like, lost my mind.
Your stupid like 50 person in a high school gymnasium like indie gimmick. I know, it's amazing.
There was a story I heard a while ago where Patrick Stump from Fall Out Boy was backstage and Bruce Springsteen comes backstage and he's I'm so sorry, my kids are here. Could you take a picture with my kids? And Patrick Stump goes, yes, Mr. Springsteen. After that, can I have a picture with you? And it was like, that was running through my head when I was watching that.
That's Orange Cassidy. That. Yes, Mr. Sting.
Yes, Mr. Sting, I'd be happy to do my gimmick with you if your kids like it. It was extremely cute, and it was a real, like, just two dads bonding at their kids' soccer game vibe.
Yeah.
Especially
they were
because
friendly. They weren't going to interfere. You know, they were just there to watch and have a good time.
Yeah. And then I think there was like someone did something after that and Sting immediately like jerked over to the stage to be like, is my boy okay? But OC didn't do that. So I'm like, maybe that's, you know, he's a little bit more of like a father brother.
Brother lover. A father brother.
Let's just say, this is our lexicon. We make the rules. Father brother could be like the teen father version. It's like you're still the father,
brother
but
lover.
It's not a brother lover. That is different. Let's get that off the show. So that's not here anymore. Bye. That term is gone. Just father lover and father brother.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Okay, producer perfect. Marjorie, can you cut like the last 2 minutes?
It's actually actually all fine, Producer Marjorie. Don't worry about it. Nothing weird was said. It's all okay. We saw OC fight, sorry, a couple of other times this week. So he fought the Blade on mm-hmm. Dynamite, and then he also had a double smash. Tennis strikes again. He also tag teamed with Chuck.
I'd love to start calling them
Elevation.
Double smashes.
Feels Let's good. Do it. Feels Who can right. stop us?
No one can stop
They haven't
us.
Been able to stop anything we've said thus far. So.
We're too powerful, yeah.
And a lot of people wish they could stop Bobby. And they make it very clear when you say the term near them.
Every day they make it clear, and yet every day we persist.
We persist.
Nevertheless.
Yeah, but so you had the match with the Blade.
Yeah. It was good. I like the Blade. He's, you know, assaulting him at will, and... I liked that they set it up so that OC got sneak attack, so he was like ready to be real mad going into his match.
Oh,
with the Blade,
he was
so.
Rip shit. He was furious from the first moment, and I
he was gonna
that.
Sneak in yeah. from the back. Yeah, you mm-hmm. think you can just punch me with those brass knuckles?
Yeah, he was all pink damp immediately, just really really worked up. Don't worry about that. That was also fine to say. And the Blade, I noticed, didn't get wet. He got kind of oily. So that was good for just a little spice, a little something different. I actually don't know if it was oil. It might have been wetness, but it had a greasy quality to it.
No, I agreed. You put in the oil. You put in the schedule that it was oil, and I immediately agreed. I was like, that man was oiled up.
Do you think people like to know that that's the kind of thing? I'm like, it's got to go in the schedule because we can't forget that. That's important.
We've got our wheelhouse and we have to lean into it, I think. So
it's true. Yeah, but he kind of like, he didn't sneak up, but he like kind of like started the fight real yeah. quick. Mm-hmm. They really got into it. There was a little bit of accidental, air quotes, intergender stuff.
Yeah.
Where, like, the Blade was using Chris Statlander as a human shield. So I remain interested in how they're tiptoeing into that territory.
I know.
Yeah. I do like that. Well, first of all, like, when the bunny was out there, but OC didn't have any backup, I was like, what the hell? Like, why didn't he bring any friends? So I was glad that Chris got out there, too. But I am enjoying the boy-girl pair-up yeah. stuff here.
The flirtations.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the match, after OC had won... He stole the Blade's brass knuckles, and then Orange punched him. Had he won? He'd won.
Yeah.
He'd already won.
And punched him again with the brass knuckles. So I'd like to get some takes from the other hosts.
Yeah. I thought it was, like, interestingly aggressive. It was more aggressive and vindictive than we usually see from faces. So I did have that moment where I was like, is this a sexy little heel turn? And I don't think it is. Like, I'm not arguing that this is... going to be that storyline, but it was like, for that brief moment I was like, heel OC, I'm interested.
I know, that was exactly my response too, because it was like, you know, the Blade was already down, like everything had gotten, you know, it was like a vindictive act, and then it was like, ooh, an OC heel turn would be, yeah, I was just like, I'd be interested. I don't think they're doing that now, but it was an interesting little you know, flirtation with it, or possible foreshadowing, maybe.
Right, and when he put the brass knuckles in his pocket and was like, this is mine forever. I was like,
right, I'm confiscating these brass knuckles. And he put the brass knuckles on with that, like, the slow-mo, like, move that he does. Mm-hmm. He puts his hands in his pockets, like he's getting additional powers from it. yeah, I mean, I don't think OC would really be a good heel because people want to cheer for him so much.
Yeah.
Myself included, obviously.
I guess I'll say I don't think it'll happen, although anything could always happen, and, you know, I'm an idiot, so. But it was interesting to me that you both really went there, and I think maybe I'm just a vindictive person, where I was like, I didn't think heel turn, I was just like, yeah, pissy bitch mode activated. Like, just a full, like, you have really been annoying the shit out of me tonight, so enjoy a little extra at the end. And I was like, it was a righteous punch, actually. He earned it. So I'll be heel turning with OC, actually.
I was glad that the attempt at cheating from the Blade and the Bunny was thwarted. So they did not, because I thought they were going to maybe win via cheating there for a second. But
That's the war that will never truly be won. Just battle after battle against the interminable wave of cheating. And then the tag team match on Elevation was a comedy match, and I loved it.
Yeah, that was just a light little. It was just enjoyment.
A light delight.
OC and Chuck Taylor against Chaos Project. Just fun times all around. I know. Big Chuck smiles at the end.
Chuck got some crowd chants.
He got a Chuck E. T. chant.
So happy about. And I then know. It was very funny to me that I think Paul White kept being Paul like, White. Chuck E. Yeah. T., I really like that.
Yeah, like he clearly never heard it before and thought the crowd had like just invented it then, which was
and, like,
pretty
cute. Long-term nickname, but.
Yeah, like check his Twitter handle, Paul White, but okay.
Very cute. One thing the commentary did say, unrelated to our beautiful sons, they said that Luther and Darby Allin were made in the same mold because they're both mysterious. Well, that is actually slander. You
so,
can't
Allie,
say
how do
that
you,
out loud.
How do you feel about Sting adopting Luther as one of his father children?
Not good. Bad. Children. Delete. No, no, Tony, don't listen to this part. Marjorie, cut this part out so Tony can't hear it.
Suddenly, Sting adopts the wingmen.
Was it Paul White who said that, or
I don't know who said it. I genuinely don't remember. Because I blacked out. I went out of my body, yeah, and I was just like, "That's fucking unacceptable." Situation. Darby Allin and Luther, and that actually is the thing where it's like, Darby Allin, high school loser, would be offended to be told by someone that he reminds them of Luther, also a high school loser. You know what I mean? Like, he would just be
That's
like,
very
yeah,
true.
I'm a fucking loser, but I'm not that.
Not all goths are the same goth. No.
Just because we shop in different parts we're of Hot Topic. Okay?
Yeah, those are very different Hot Topic sections, actually.
Yeah, we're not buying the same stuff. So that was offensive, and I'm going to sue TNT about it. All right. We also had a Nyla Britt match on Dynamite. Leah, tell us about this rumor that you have heard.
I mean, with the disclaimer that I'm an idiot and have Perfect. Always been an idiot. I was watching, I think it was Dark with Sarah, and I was like, I'm very annoyed that Sheeta's just a dark wrestler now. Like, it's really obnoxious that, like, she's just never on Dynamite now because they're pushing Britt. And Sarah was like, well, TNT will only let them have one women's match at a time, an episode. And I was like, what the fuck?
At a time would make sense. TNT won't let them get two rings out there.
I mean, they did do the two rings one
yeah,
time.
Yeah, sometimes they let them for the yeah. men. It's called sexism.
Bullshit. Sexism.
Amen, sister.
So anyway, so then I did look into it, and I think it is a persistent rumor that comes from a tweet that Kenny made when people are like, why wasn't the women's eliminator match on Dynamite? Why was it on YouTube? And Kenny tweeted and essentially was like, ask TNT. And it was like, I forget exactly the wording of the tweet. He didn't say exactly that TNT only lets one women's match, but he did like kind of insinuate that it like TNT is the one keeping it down. And then Britt said something else where she was like, it's all to do with the ratings. And if women's matches don't get more ratings, then they won't let us have more than one. So it does seem like it's possibly true, but not also like yeah. not exactly, you know, word for words, but it's not good.
Well, I'd love to be able to blame Turner Network Television, the capitalist overlords there, and not Our best anyone friend, that Tony I Khan. Like. Yeah, yeah, I don't want to blame Tony Khan. I'm trying to suck up to him so he'll actually do something I want someday.
Right.
Someday. But, well, that blows chunks.
Yeah.
But the Nyla Britt match was good. I know we were a little worried based on the like build up match the week
yeah,
before.
Yeah, the four woman match was so terrible that I was like stressed. But then I thought it was really good. I thought it was, you know, yeah. it was everything I wanted from the four person match.
Yeah, I thought it was great. I thought that like they did a good job of like making Nyla seem like cool and powerful yeah. and. Then Britt also was great, and she was. Are those boots new?
They
were really hot.
They were great.
Have I seen them before? And I just didn't register that I was horny about them. Well, maybe.
I think she had a bunch of new stuff. Like she had a new jacket, and the the glove was new. So it's very possible the boots were also new.
Well, I liked them.
I loved the glove. I love the new glove.
Yeah, and we also luckily have another. Women's feud that we get to track now, even if it is on Dark and not on Dynamite. Mm-hmm. So the Big Swole Diamante feud continued. Mm-hmm. Diamante? Am I saying it right?
Diamante, yeah.
Diamante. Great. Well, I can't read. I'm a loser and I can't read.
Jared, 19.
Diamante interrupted Big Swole's match with the bunny and interfered and caused her loss. And she was wearing the greatest little Lizzie McGuire era outfit I have ever seen. She had this flowered bucket hat on. She had this like Henley style sleeveless crop top. Like, it was a perfect look for a heel. I mean, I just was so happy, and I was like, I'm so glad that they're doing more of this stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, Big Swole can really cut a promo. Like, yeah. She is so charismatic. Like, watching her, I'm like, can she teach Jungle Boy how to do this?
if anyone can.
Please.
Oh, that's what you meant. Leah, I thought that they had interacted on the show. And I was like, interesting. Didn't catch that, but I can't wait to hear about what Big Swole and Jungle Boy are getting up to together.
No, I was just thinking, you know how like they're always talking about like the men being coaches for the women? I'm like, Big Swole needs to be a coach for Jungle Boy.
Please. None of the men I'm entering him are making any progress. So.
They're not helping. I mean, we'll cruise through the, maybe we'll come back at the end to what JB was up to this week. Or we could say it now. I don't know. We can say it now.
Oh, he just was, he didn't even talk in the promo with Christian Cage, and he like was giving nothing with his face. He just looked like a sleepy little Calvin Klein model. Yeah. Like,
but in the background, body, shirtless. You're right about his face, but his body was posed as if he was like a hot girl model in the back of like a car commercial, like laying on the hood of a car. True.
Oh, but even let's take it somewhere else. Okay, so okay. I'm building on you.
Yeah.
He was in a Carl's Jr. ad.
Oh, yeah.
One of the women in a Carl's Jr. ad.
That's right. Yeah. And it just, I mean, it was one of those things where I was like, what were the directions that were giving to Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus, and why did they interpret them differently?
Well, I think Luchasaurus interpreted them normally, so he was sitting there looking like, yeah, I'm mad. Christian Cage, honestly a hysterical promo from him, I don't know if in the way he intended, where he just had this shamey tone where he was like, four men beating up on poor little Marco Stead, who could never defend himself in a million years, for shame! Like, I would like to maybe see Marco Stunt there being like, I'm actually fine. I defend myself fine. But then at the end of the promo, it to me seemed like in one of his coaching sessions, someone had said to Jungle Boy, like, it's really important to like make contact with other people when you're in a scene to like, you know, you're not just reading lines, you're like acting, you're engaging. And so to answer that, I thought he sat up from his little like sexy Hollywood pose and just put a weird hand on Christian Cage's shoulder, like very like, I did it, Dad.
It's everything he's doing is just like, wow, that didn't help. Like, you did something, but it really added confusion to the mix for me. I'd love it if he could just act like he was like processing the words that were being said in the promo at the time. You know, like, he looks so vacant.
Well, face. I think he looks kind of like he's getting that thing where he's like, okay, JB, time to listen up, time to listen hard and hear what they're saying. And you were thinking about listening, so you didn't hear, JB. You don't know what they're saying. Focus up, JB. Well, we can't wait to watch his continued evolution.
It's pretty entertaining.
It is pretty funny. So maybe he's doing fine, I guess. Rey Fénix came back this week, and he didn't wrestle, but he did look very cute, which is actually more important.
Agreed.
And that was for Andrade had a little, like, I don't know, like, thing with Death Triangle. I was going to say tete-a-tete. Is that what I mean? I don't think so.
Yeah,
I guess. Think it is.
Kind of got together to chat.
He was talking to Tony Schiavone, right? And then they... Death Triangle came out. Is that what happened?
I knew that. You know that I don't. At one point, I looked up. They're all on the screen.
I know. That's what happened to me too. I was like, I don't remember at all the process of them getting out here. Andrade was introducing his new manager, who is
won't
a
be
Guerrero.
Any new.
I know, but I did learn while I was out in Seattle from my brother that the Guerreros are this big wrestling name, which is why Vicky has a job. So. I was like, oh, I know a very small amount about this. It's a Guerrero, I said to myself. I know that.
I do think that, Vicky earns that job every day with the intensity of her screams.
Oh, yeah.
I've never heard the like of before in my life.
I just, I mean, he had a Guerrero, though. Like, he
I don't know why he needs a different Guerrero.
He didn't like the model that he had.
And I know I've said it every episode, and I just will keep saying it. Why couldn't he just be a little... a friend group with Nyla and Vicky? Why do they have to bring me another man that I will have to learn his face and his name?
Another man.
I kind of feel that way every time they bring someone new in. It's like, you already have so many men. Like, I like Wheeler Yuta, but I kind of feel this way with him too. It's like, there's so many men here. Like, why are there more?
I know. And every time there's like rumors about like, what WWE star are they going to sign next? I'm like, I can't have any more men. I am full.
Oh, full of men? Okay. All right, Leah. Well, it was your choice to say that.
I do like the thing that the Spanish speakers are doing where they keep making fun of English-only speakers for not speaking Spanish, which is a real good time, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is pretty funny, and it is a funny little, like, way to, I don't know, like, make it make sense that they're translating a lot of stuff.
It was good because Pac just looked very funny because he was trying so hard to be mean and aggro. And then he kept every once in a while getting a look on his face like, what are they saying? Are they saying something mean? I don't know what they're saying.
So the showstopper of the night was Lance Archer versus Jon Moxley for the NJPW American. I think it is the IWGT. IWGT United States.
I think it's P. I think it's IWGP.
Okay.
The fact that you guys are even attempting it, knowing that you're just begging corrections.
I looked at the name earlier today and I was like, I'll get it this time. And it was Lance Archer, as we know, is insanely from Texas. He does
insanely
seem
from
like
Texas. I just don't get that at all. Like, he seems British to me. I think we talked about this before.
It was on the Forbidden episode.
Our Lost episode. Yeah. Well, I'll just repeat myself as need be. Yeah, no, it's like, well, some people, they announce where they're from, and it's like Darby Allin from Seattle, and you're like, yeah, that's right.
That adds up.
Yeah, but Lance Archer from Texas, I don't know.
He has a real Braveheart vibe, so
that's what I
agree that it makes no sense. I'm like, Braveheart wasn't set in Texas. So.
No, certainly not. Like, for Texas independence, like, that's disgusting.
Yeah, but he was all fired up. He had a squash match on Dark or something, where he was doing things to a smaller man that honestly blew my little dog mind.
He's a very large man.
One of the commentators said that he choke slammed with authority, which I was like, okay. You couldn't. You know why they could say it? It's because they don't kink shame on AEW. You certainly couldn't say it on Dynamite.
True.
And Jake the Snake told us that he was so hungry to get what he so deserved. And he did. Wow. He won against Mox, and he has a little belt all of his own, which I was proud of him for, honestly.
I was proud of
him. Big congrats.
Speaking of Jake the Snake, there was a number of times on Dynamite where Jake the Snake just wandered into the frame and then put his back to the camera, like, really badly, where you're like, Jake, get out of the way!
Jake, please. The adults are working here.
You could just tell if anybody said something to him, he'd be like, oh!
It was one of those matches where, like, to me, the vibe is that the men were like, what are some, like, new ways that we could really damage each other? And so they were really getting into props. They used a human being as a prop at one point.
Yeah, they picked up a quote-unquote fan. Like, I thought it was just a random person who bought a ticket. It's like an SNL monologues when those random fans ask questions from the audience. I do like when they go up in the audience, though. I like this for when Darby and Ethan were doing it too, because like the crowd members are just like slapping them on the back and like being really psyched that they're right next to them, which is very funny to me.
Yeah, I know. I am sometimes like, guys, they're actually working. I don't touch them right now. They're very busy and they could hurt each other easily.
Yeah, you could distract them, right? They're about to throw somebody down some concrete steps.
Be very careful.
Don't distract the animals.
Safety first. And then at the end of the match, when Lance had won, do you know how to say this name? I looked it up. I think they said it Hikulio, but I could be wrong, and I couldn't in the minutes before the show find another pronunciation guide. So if we're wrong, actually, please do correct me, because I do want to get people's names right, you know. Anyway, but this was the one of the larger man, one of the larger man I ever see. Very cute large man came out, seems to be from NJPW. That's not something that I know about, but I liked the look of him, and he will be challenging Lance Archer for the belt, which I assume we'll also see on Dynamite, I guess.
It seemed like that's what they were saying, and I was just like, wow, they're doing a lot of New Japan stuff on Dynamite now. I know.
Yeah, it's fine. I do feel like I'm on the verge of maybe becoming a Reddit man complaining about too much New Japan, but it's fine.
I don't really mind it as long as I am not expected to know extra information, which exactly. I have not felt like. No. Like, I'm just like that. Exactly. Again, that simply is large man I now see on my TV, so no worries. I'm happy to watch him do something.
So many large men just wander into the camera. Well, and
no one else needed.
It was helpful that he wore a shirt that identified him in a way that I understood. Yes. I was like, ah, yes, the Bullet Club. I am aware.
Yes, we know of them.
Yes, I know.
And that is the new Bullet Club that I think our friend Mary was telling me on Impact. Some of the new Bullet Club members, like, didn't seem to necessarily approve of the Elite Bullet Club. That's a little fact I'm bringing to the table.
Wow.
Yes. Thank you. Someone's going to tell me I'm wrong. But anyway, so I don't know if he'll get pulled into other Bullet Club nonsense.
The mouth flow in this episode is going great.
So good. Amazing. Great mouth flow. And the final segment I have for us, I've called our little theologian's corner. So this is about Miro did one promo where he just said that it seemed like it was going to tell us who he was going to fight next, but he never got around to that. He basically was like, who can fight me? I don't know. He went through some more of his religious God's favorite wrestler stuff, and he added a little something new.
Right. He was like, I am the Redeemer. And
I think he said it last week, too.
Did he?
I feel like it wasn't brand new. I just remember because... quite heretical, actually.
So Jesus, I need a little a little education about that. I did go to Catholic school, but I didn't pay a lot of attention. So
yeah, just like Jesus is the Redeemer. So Miro's out there saying I'm the Redeemer things like this is the word of the Redeemer, which you probably heard in church when they're like, this is the word of the Lord after the Bible reading. That one actually did make me go like a little like Miro. that's quite a bit.
Pledge. Oh my
god. Yeah. I'm a little scandalized at this. I do think it's funny that he like started with this God's favorite wrestler stuff, but it's like rapidly, and I thought it was very funny, and then it's rapidly gone into like a hubristic like heresy kind of realm where it's like now he's just saying that he's Jesus and no one can defeat him.
I know.
And I mean, and it's especially, I don't know if they're actually gonna like go to like a hubris like takes him down like in an actual Greek mythology, like taking the, you know, bragging in a way the gods don't like, but they probably won't. But
well, it's especially funny because he doesn't have a feud. Like, he's not fighting with anybody.
I know.
It's just him in a corner somewhere being like, and in this way, I'll defeat God.
Yeah, right. Okay.
It is a little bit like, well, you're not even fighting anyone, buddy. Someone is trying to take you down right now.
So it would be really funny to me if he like goes through an entire cycle of a story without like fighting anyone but Twinks, and he's just working through it completely by himself.
He's just gonna get like struck by lightning in the last
exactly.
Well, I think a little twink must defeat him, and that's kind of a David Goliath thing.
Yeah,
love biblical
David Goliath thing. Yeah, good to work.
Thank you so much. Well, I know the fun ones.
Yeah, like if what if Marco Stunt defeated him?
Oh, please. Take me there, AEW. Of course, everyone will be furious. You'll get in tons of trouble, but I'll have fun, and that's what matters.
Such a good time.
Was there anything else that people want to highlight from our week in wrestling?
I don't think so. No. Not really.
You don't want to dig into that. I also don't want to really want to dig into what the Acclaimed are up to right now.
No,
the Acclaimed are really sprinkling
too intense for the end of the episode.
Yeah, no. They're really back to sprinkling a little misogyny into their raps, which they used to do pretty regularly. But I feel like they'd stop for a while, and then they became my precious
baby
boys.
Well, you know what?
Back on it.
Do you think that maybe it's that Tony Khan took Max's comfort sex gestures away from him So he has no choice but to say disgusting misogynistic things now because he can't milk anyone's fingers.
I mean, that's a great point because, you know, like, it is, he's a dog that's not getting walked enough, and I do think his sex gestures performed a valuable walk type function.
He needed those.
There is little indoor toys at least, so even though he still needed to be walked, like, he was running around the house at least.
He defeated Alan Angels this week and didn't even get to hump his prone body. So the man is suffering.
It is outrageous they made him stop humping people.
I know. They won't let him do anything. He's getting depressed.
I just had a little, oh yeah, I remember when he used to hump people every week. That was a
He used to be allowed to
weeks.
Do so many things. If they, even if they just gave him, like, it's like with the women's matches, if they gave him one sex gesture a week, you know what I mean?
Right. They're like, okay, Max, you can scissor his fingers if you must.
Most people don't even know, like, they wouldn't even think anything of it. Exactly. They're just like, that's a cool handshake.
It's not that dirty at all, so, yeah. Tony, if you're listening, we've got some HR suggestions for you.
Please, Tony, he needs this. I'll also just say Thunder Rosa officially got signed, so that is exciting. I think we all saw it coming, but still exciting. And then maybe we could just close out by quickly, I do want to talk about this little Eddie speech that I thought was so sweet and made me so happy this week.
He's so good at it.
He's so good.
I love that.
I love that they're letting him close the shows. Mm-hmm. I know. Send everyone home.
I know. He's so good at it. And he and Penta were being very funny and sweet together on stage.
Out there under the spotlights of the
in their little costumes.
I love that Penta almost forgot to have Alex translate. He just talked in Spanish for a while and then was about to walk away, and then he was like, Alex.
Yeah, it just was really sweet that he was like, AEW took a chance on me, AEW took a chance on all of us, that's why I talk my shit and say AEW forever, which I guess is because of him getting some shit about his, like, little WWE burn.
Yeah.
But I love a double down from Eddie Kingston, who I think should have been a star his whole life, and it's so crazy that it took a long time.
It's legitimately crazy. It does make me wonder, like, how mean was he to various indie or various wrestling promoters, you know what I mean? I think I just saw an interview with him this week where he basically said, like, he's gotten in his own way a lot. I was like, aww. Oh, you really?
Yeah.
Oh, buddy, I bet you did. Yeah. Man. It's so satisfying, though, to see him getting big and getting the pop from the audience that he deserves.
Yeah. Everyone chanting, Eddie, you love it. All our faves got chanted for this week. We love crowds.
Crowds are good. Crowds.
Okay. Anything else?
That's it.
Well, you did a beautiful job this week, ladies.
So did
I hope
you.
We get to great post hosting. This one.
I yeah, know. We'd all
fingers
love
crossed.
It if, we'd
no
love
echoes.
It if we got to post our show, but okay. Well, I've been Allie.
And I've been Ann.
And I'm Leah.
And this is Tunnel Talk. Our show is produced by Marjorie Voinovich. Our theme is by Chris Corkin. You can find us on Twitter at Tunnel Talk Pod and via email at tunneltalkpod@gmail.com. Please feel free to send us any questions that you have. Corrections, I guess. You can, those who know can DM us about that. And please rate, review, and subscribe to us on iTunes or wherever you want, and come back next week.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.